You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything was well for you today. We're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, and I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, you know, then you just got to do it anyway, because that's what kind of brother and sister that you is. You always get it done, you know. So check this out. I have a great program, hopefully a great program for you today, and I'm trying to get into it right now. I'm trying to send something while I'm talking to you, you know? Yeah. So let me see. Okay. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Click on that, and at the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, you can shortcut that. Just go to BabaOshi, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, and that'll hook you right up. All right. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6 to 8, all times are going to give our Eastern times. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed.
Transcribed.
And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and Ataki Cambon. And then from 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. And then on Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesday, the Black Farmers Report. And then if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Sister Talk with host Lawanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. We Buy Black. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, if we don't support it, who will? Try to buy something. Free delivery on products. Try to do something. I love brothers and sisters. At least try it. And they, you know, wherever they are in the Atlanta area, wherever you are in your city or your town or whatever, if there's a black place that's selling something, brother or sister that's selling something, support them. Because if we don't, nobody else will. African for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba will be my guest this Friday once again. And we'll continue to talk about the advantages of investing in Africa, the advantages of going to Africa, the advantage of repatriating to Africa. And, you know, he makes it truly affordable. And he's going to Tanzania. That's how they pronounce it, Tanzania. Of course, everybody's pronounced it Tanzania, Tanzania. November 18th through the 29th. And then Ghana, December 24th through the January 5th, 2022,
Senegal and Gambia, April 1st through 11th, 2022. And then Ghana, May 24th to June 5th. And the prices are $3,700. You put your $400 down payment down and pay on it every 2 weeks or a month, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes for you to go on a trip of a lifetime. And everything that you need is on the website. Everything that you need, all documentations, all the visas, all the stuff that you need to go on one of these trips, one of these four trips that are upcoming. Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Habeshah. Habeshah Incorporated, that kind of feels kind of funny not seeing Renoka Rashidi after I do Brother Bomani, but hey, you know, I'm going to be talking about Baba Renoko. You know that. Always. Habeshahincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. Support Habeshahincorporated.org. Habeshah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Habeshahincorporated.org. Habeshah works. Black to our roots. Sustainable seeds, golden growers, and urban green jobs. Of course, the Kashi Project that is taking place. They have pictures of it in Ghana. They're building it up. They're building up a place that people can go and really check it out. So, Habeshahincorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Of course, LEDGE deals with the four areas of human existence, and that is food. Gotta have it. Water. You must have it. Clothing. Unless you're in a climate that, you know, very little clothing is necessary. But hey, if you in America or you in the North, if you, you know, you're going to need some clothing. And of course, to shelter you, you need shelter from those elements. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. The LEDGE program, they have 12 projects on the continent in 6 countries with over 172 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, you become a member of the LEDGE group. In fact, if you become a member, you have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania, $250 an acre. Imagine you just put $1,000 down and you got 4 acres of land. All that land, all that, what you could do. Exactly. TheLedgeGroup.com. Bibiatumi. Bibiatumi.com. Bibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to Bibiatumi.com. Make it one of your favorite places to go to shop and so forth, get information. Once again, they have classes, all kinds of good stuff. They haven't resumed their Saturday programming, but check out bibiatumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar here in the city of Atlanta, here in the West End. Healthy food, healthy fruit drinks, smoothies and so forth, all kinds of good stuff. Oh, man, they're doing great work at Wadada. She's making good use of all that area that she does have, and it's outstanding. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. It's across the street from, excuse me, some of my eye. It's across the street from Soul Veg and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. They do have a service, and it's online, so you can give the Shrine of the Black Madonna a call, you know. Give them a call if you want to, at 404-444-6696, 404-444-6696, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, that's Mama Nia. Give her a call if you, or if you're in the green, or if you're in the neighborhood, stop in at the Greenbrier Mall. She's right there on the main thoroughfare in the Greenbrier Mall. But if not, give her a call, because if you're looking for books, she more than likely will have them. But if she doesn't, she'll make sure that you do, that she does for you. At 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia. And my good brother Gazimde Ajamu. in Lithonia. There's light in the black dot. He has a coffee bar where he serves delicious African coffees and African teas and bean pies. And he has a fine selection of books and other stuff. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. So give Brother Gazimde Ajamu 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. In the spirit of Ujamaa, Us Lifting Us, tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. The name of the program is Dare to Win. But, of course, you can call and listen. Or you can, when you call and listen, you can hit one and it'll put you in the queue and you can ask a question or have a comment or concern. And, of course, the program is from 9 p.m. to 10. From 9 p.m. to 10. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon. Homeland Village, open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. Give them a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop for all the things that you need. Located in 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, the work that she's doing on the island of Haiti. It is not where the earthquake happened. That happened in the southern western part where, you know, you recognize geography, you know, there's a part that long coastline that sticks out like a peninsula on the island. That's where it happened. In fact, about 90 miles from Port-au-Prince. And of course, the earthquake in 2010 hit Port-au-Prince. But she's up in the northeastern part of the island in the hills. And she's doing outstanding work. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, I-A-Y-I-T-I, Sanjay dash Haiti .org. And look at the work that his sister is doing. Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, once again, I'll always promote them. They're doing the work trying to raise warriors. And they deserve to be supported. Their institute, educational institute, is Akabin Institute. And I give the P.O. Box, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You would make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. But if you want to use PayPal or Cash App, say, for instance, you want to use Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, the books. The bookstore, Akabin House. Go to AkabinHouse.com, AkabinHouse.com, and order the books that you want to get. Oh, also, too, for Us Lifting Us, Mama Tamu, her book, 1148 Lewis Avenue, about the shootout 50 years ago, August 18th, 1971. The Republic of New Africa, the new public, the RNA 11, you know, get her book. You would go to usliftingus.com, and then store, and hit on that. And then there'll be some t-shirts you can buy. And of course, her book that you can buy. And I think also on Amazon. Great read, great book, Mama Tamu Kenyama. All right. Let's get started. Yeah. Because this is going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah, this Betty Davis. Hold on to your seat. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Rinoco, at the end of Hidden Colors 2, Rinoco gives this quote, you know, and it even though he, and he says, who gave it, I can't remember the brother's name, but it's a good quote. Depends upon what you've been told. And who's telling us, that helps form how we think of ourselves. Depends upon what we think of ourselves, what we think about ourselves. Depends upon what we know of ourselves, and what we know of ourselves depends upon what we've been told, who's been doing the telling. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior. No, excuse me. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you physically do. Your philosophy. This is a deep one, because how we behave. Both of these quotes are deep. How do we behave? Who's told us? How do we think? How do we think of ourselves? How do we think of each other? How do we think of our women? How do we think of our community? We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but left nothing, who built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of great wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. I was with Mama Marimba yesterday, and we were talking about a number of things, and we were talking about Brother Lester Velt Middleton, how brilliant he was, and what a great interviewer. He's interviewed all of our great scholars. I suggest to you, go to YouTube and pull those interviews. Great interviews. Great interviewer. And that quote became very deep to me, and very, because I learned that he built the house that he lived in. And unfortunately, before it was totally completed, he passed. But Lester Velt Middleton was, yeah. So, the Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, August 24th. I would rather die on my legs than to live on my knees. Dedan Kimathi. Urugu understands that when it comes to making the African family more vulnerable to genocidal process, not only do you have to get the man out of the home, you have to get the man out of the man. And effeminization is the ultimate process by which this is done. For such, males come to the conclusion that being effeminate is the safest way to survive and, in fact, profit from the anti-African violence of Urugu's world. Effeminates do not have to be emasculated. They are Urugus. They are Urugus eunuchs, superlative models of emasculation, wholly ill-prepared for either mental or physical battle. Effeminacy amongst African males is the manifestation of a much, much deeper social mental illness that has fully corrupted the individual's soul. To effeminize means to take someone who is or would be masculine and then turn them feminine. Remember that effeminization is a process. The suffix isation means is occurring. It is occurring. Effeminization is the process of making what otherwise is not feminine or is a balance of the masculine and feminine with a dominant masculine component, wholly feminine. To become effectively effeminized, an African male must accept as an impossibility any valiant, African-centered definition of manhood. Vanquishment must become eternalized. Here we are talking about the results of a process that makes being masculine for African males an undesirable condition. Damn. African manhood becomes objectionable because it is perceived as unrealistic, unattainable, and especially life-threatening. Affirm, I live standing. Ashe, affirm, I live standing. What if you woke up in the morn at the crack of dawn, looked out the window and seen that it was on? Would you be prepared? Would you, yay, family starve? Would your family starve? What if they cut off the water supply and all the food was gone? Think contingent if the planning on the existence, what if them to die? United front. At the heart of every African nationalist life lies the concern of securing our spaces against alien invasion. Above all else, it is a mandate that calls for us to ever be prepared for any threat, any incursion, or any emergency. As servants of our people who know their most primary job is to defend them, they must never be caught unaware of or ill-prepared for any threat. Preparedness requires much practice and proficiency, and every African nationalist should put as much energy as possible in becoming as well qualified in every possible skill as they are able. As with warriorhood in general, they must not fall for the limelight fantasies, particularly must guide the choices of what skills they need to learn, because they can never be absolutely sure exactly what will be needed at any given time and place, because they do not have the ability to know or create a fixed, predetermined future where only what they learn is needed. They move knowing that every skill will find its rightful place. Affirm, I am what ifing them to death. I am what ifing them to death. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm glad that you join us today. Here once again is my attempt to rationalize and understand the European, the Caucasian. You know, try to help us, and boy, do we need help, right? Yeah. So try to help us understand the behavior, to have it explained the way that it must be explained about the way the European is. And I know that many of us do this, and of course, some do it superficially. Some get deep. Some understand. That's why I just mentioned Mama Marimba, and she is somebody who was very special to me and always has been. Before I even had a chance to meet her, I saw her a few times, you know, at the National Black United Front, at ASCAC, a few other things that over time. But when I moved here, we had an ASCAC meeting, and then you know, I found out she was going to be there. It was December or November of the year I moved. I'll be here 7 years around this time, and I introduced myself again really to her, because I did meet her previously. In fact, I met her at the Institute of the Black World, Professor Ron Daniels, and I came down here. I was living in Milwaukee then, and had opportunity just to say some things to her. You know, but and at the MBUF, National Black United Front conference in Chicago with Brother Ray Winbush of Morgan State, and of course Mama Marimba, and so we became friends, and so I was with her yesterday, you know, because her book Urugu, and that's what I explained to her, is my Bible. That is the Bible. Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. I mean, it is a great work. If you haven't read it, brothers and sisters, please do. Please do. You know, in fact, in our conversation, we were talking about the theology, and I was saying, to me, your chapter on the religion is seriously on point. I've read that a few times. So in that conversation, it kind of helped me think about what I would talk about today. You know, sometimes I don't have a guest, and I got to come up with, what am I going to talk about? But you know what? Concerning us, there's always something to talk about. Always. There's no shortage of good topics. So I'm going to talk about the cultural bandits that Europeans are, how they developed, just trying to explain their behavior, you know, as Mama Marimba eloquently did, you know, and how they thought about themselves and how they thought about others and why they paint this picture of themselves, you know. They want to believe that their culture and who they are is the prenim. Well, I mean, they've done that. They've done that. You know, when they came out of that medieval age, that dark age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor, they made everybody in the world suffer because of it. But prior to that, you know, before they got into that age, they had Rome, and then they had Greece. And of course, to the European, Greece is the stuff, you know. Greece. Why did Europe belatedly attain civilization? I've mentioned many times human beings. Human beings begin in Central East Africa, and they migrate from that point. I'm not talking about creationism. I'm talking about human development, human evolution, human beings evolving. There's more documentation, there's more verifiable facts to that than the idea of creation. I know there's many people who don't want to believe that, particularly if you are a part of the theologies of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, and maybe some of the other theologies. I don't know. But kicking that to the curb for at least a minute, dealing with the fact that human beings began in a place that was conducive to development, the growth, the climate, the environment. Now, when human beings start, and of course they may gather in clans or groups or tribes, whatever, and they may not be sedentary, they may not be, you know, they may deal with vegetation and so forth. So if they are in that particular part of the world and that particular part of the land and now becomes barren, they move on. They migrate. They migrate. And unfortunately, human beings migrated. Now, some argue, and I know my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, argued that Caucasians and us, they're two separate human beings. Their development from Neanderthal, and you know, so really, their human existence is much different, and to a degree I understand, but I look at human beings when you left out of Africa, because what makes human beings different, just looking at it, is the ability to adapt to environment. When you are in a particular environment, either you adapt or you die. And adaptation doesn't happen, bam, like that. It takes place over a series of possibly centuries. And so I used to use these examples of, you know, when we left out of Africa and went east and up into higher elevations where precipitation comes down as snow. And of course, we didn't need, in those elevations, melanated skin. We didn't need close curl hair, the slender bodies, big nose, wide nose, juicy lips. No. In fact, you need to insulate yourself, your hair, over you, and particularly hair down the back of your neck, to, because your neck is small, and but what is vital is the arteries that go from your heart to your brain. That blood must come to your brain without clotting consistently, so you to think and for you to do and so forth. So your skin became more pale. Of course, I'm speaking of the Asians now. When the precipitation comes down as snow, say, for instance, yesterday it snowed, but today it's sunny. Because of the sunlight and the glare off the snow causing you to squint, causing you, because it's hard to see, and causing you to squint. Well, after so long, that becomes an adaptation. That becomes something that is necessary for your survival. And when you look at, and that's why the beauty of Rinoco, that was the beauty of Rinoco Rashidi. He documented, physically documented the presence of Africans everywhere on the planet. Over 120-some countries he visited, over, 4,000 photos, books he's written. That was the beauty of Rinoco. He documented the African presence. When Europeans became that existence, when we left and got cut off by the Ice Age, we lived in caves, we killed animals, covered our bodies, had a lot of hair on them, we were stockier, more fat, real long stringy hair, because those things were cold. Our nose became thin to warm the cold air before it got in our lungs. Our lips became thin to hold in whatever heat there was. Human beings have ability to adapt to environments. Historical research shows that Europe, which officially carries itself today as the oldest continent, is in fact, it is not a continent. Europe is not a continent by anybody's, definitely by their definition. They can say what they want. It's not a continent. But it is the last place to experience civilization. Indeed, history shows that civilization is born in Africa and is taken to its climax, the zenith, the pinnacle of culture in Kemet. Kemet is the idea. And there were others. There was Nubia, there was Pont, there was Timari, the Kush, other civilizations. Other things happening on the continent of Africa while Europe was in a medieval or dark age, let alone through its envelopment, even let alone through the Romans, through the Greeks and so forth. Also, it existed in Asia and the Americas, millennials before the birth of the first European civilization, which of course they say is ancient Greece and Rome. The birth of the first European civilization that they say dates back to the 9th century, which is 800 years before the beginning of the present era. So why did Europeans attain civilization so late? It is because of the climate. Indeed, research shows that Europe continent, stop it, shows that the Europeans experienced long periods of cold weather. The last major glaciation in Europe is called the Warm Glaciation or the Warmanian Glaciation. This glaciation lasted about 120,000 years and ended around 10,000 years ago. Over that period, the Europeans was going through times of fierce cold, snow, or ice with polar temperatures. Due to these, I don't think the Europeans migrated into what is now Europeans. I don't think they migrated from out of Africa into that. I think they did that around about, I'd say, 50,000 years ago. Due to these difficult climate conditions, humans in what is called Europe could not, for a long time, unlock the secrets of nature, tame and transform it. You know, they couldn't do it. In order to develop civilization, humans in Europe were rather concerned about their survival in those difficult and even extreme conditions. Thus, man and woman in Europe had long lived in caves near the fire in order to warm up and survive, because venturing out for too long to observe nature and many more implied exposing themselves to the risk of dying from cold. At the end of the Great Warm Glaciation around 10,000 years ago, it started to end. It still took effect probably about 5,000 years. Weather seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, began to gradually take place. But these constantly repeated changes of season, unstable climate, began to affect nature, vegetation that comes and goes in hot or cold weather. It disturbs the sedentation and organization of humans in Europe for a long time. They couldn't be sedentary. They couldn't farm. The Europeans, according to climate variations, summer, hot, winter, always cold, wandered and nomad for a long time, or wanderers and nomads, following the rhythm of the seasons in search of a suitable weather and land where they would be able to settle. And when one lives a nomadic life, they live in instability. They live in instability. You got to go here, and next thing you know, can't go here, we're done here, we got to go there, here and there. And since they consistently moved around, there is no time to build, to construct, or develop anything like a civilization that could leave vestiges in a sustainable and relevant way. Since the Europeans had difficulty to evolve because of the climate, they had to gradually draw the elements of civilization from other people and civilizations that preceded them, particularly in Africa and to the east of them in Asia. Because, see, that's what Europe really is. It's not Europe continent. It's just the western part of Asia. They use the Caucasus Mountains. No other continent uses a different landmass. United States, this is part of the North American continent that Europeans named. Central America. And then, of course, there's South America. Now, there's supposed to be seven continents. Of course, Antarctica is considered a continent. Very few people live on Antarctica because of the climate. There's only six. Europe is not a continent. They use the Caucasus Mountains as the dividing range. From the Caucasus Mountains going west is Europe. Since the Europeans had difficulties to evolve because of the climate, they had to gradually draw the elements of civilization from other people and civilizations that preceded them, particularly in Africa and Asia. This is why, for example, concerning the first European civilization, ancient Greece, Professor Jean-Pierre Vermont, in his book Myth and Thought Among the Greeks, tells us that the Greeks therefore used observation techniques, instruments that others had already developed. I repeat, the Greeks therefore used observations, techniques, instruments that others had already developed. Thus, for example, the Greeks came to study and get their knowledge in Africa in the Pharaonic civilization. They studied at the feet of African people. The Greeks admit that they were civilized by Kemet in all their writings. The Greeks therefore never claimed to have invented anything, science, philosophy, mathematics, whatever. Unlike the Westerners who claim today that the Greeks invented everything. the Western civilization. They claim that Greece invented everything. I'm not sure if they said this before their so-called Renaissance. I don't know. We do know that the Greeks, let's be real, were cultural bandits. We're not going to talk about cultural bandits. We do know they were appropriators. We do know this. It is documented that they went in and said, well, I'll be the father of this. I'll be the father of that. Once Greece had taken Kemet. But Kemet's culture was so strong. The culture was so strong. It was still strong when Rome came in. The Greeks were there for about 300 years, and then the Romans came in. It was still strong. And then, of course, the Romans declined. And then later, Islam came in. And that's when the culture changed. A whole big different thing. So thanks to the comprehensive knowledge taken, learned, or copied from other people, Europeans were able to find ideas for the birth of their first civilization. As a consequence, even if the Europeans like to show and promote their history and their historical remains, the Colosseum, the Parthenon, all that kind of stuff, history shows that Western civilization is the latest and youngest among the civilizations across the world, since Europeans are historically the last to have known civilization. They were not the first, the last. The very first civilization in Europe was actually the Minoan civilization in Crete, a Mediterranean island belonging today to Greece. Its builders were the first African inhabitants of the region under Kemetic influence. Crete was part of the Kemetic Empire. The first Caucasian civilization remains Greek, properly said. The Greeks. Yeah. One thing about the Greeks, your culture was whack. In Kemetic culture, you see there's a complementarity. You see there's... Because Kemetic culture was ruled by Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. Balance. There was no balance in Greek culture. There was no balance in European culture. Because in that harsh environment, men rule, men dominate. And unfortunately, women acquiesce. Women capitulate. Because... If she don't do what he say, he might kick her ass out. She might be out in that dark, cold animals out there, saber-toothed tigers, mastodon, cold. Fending for, no, I just got to take this, shut up and take this. No, he couldn't do that to a sister on the continent of Africa. I'll take me and the kids, I know there's a group of brothers and sisters about 10 miles down. A lot of food there. Good clean water. No, later for you, dude. Talking about this, that, and the other. Abusing. No, I ain't having it. But to the Greeks, and of course the Greeks became lovers. The men became lovers of themselves. Even the first Olympics that women could not even view. They were naked. You don't see Greek statues of men and women together. There's statues of men kissing each other. There's statues of men and boys. Pedophilia. The Greek story. That's why we should never use the word mentor. We don't mentor. We are gegnas. Not mentors. We don't give this instruction to young people because as a mentor in the Iliad, Homer's Iliad, Odysseus goes on this thing, what he ever supposed to be doing, and he turns his young son over to Mentor. And Mentor sexually abuses him. So we should never use the word men. There's a lot of damn words we shouldn't be using. I did a program. I guess I got to do it again. Words, because people always say words have meaning. Yeah, they do. You should learn them. It's because there are some words we should not use. I'm coming up on the top of the hour, and I want to play a few things. I'm going to Brother Del Jones and his Cultural Bandits and read a few things from, play a piece from Del Jones when we come back, and not a cantor, and read some stuff. And of course, we ask you to join the conversation. Always asking you to join the conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Jamaica Funk. Yeah. And the Iceman's band, Jerry Butler's band. That cut was from the early 70s, and of course, Jamaica Funk is from the early 80s. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with Host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, it's Sankofa Elders Council. Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yeah. Nana Cantu, Brother Dale Jones,
wrote a book on genocide and cultural bandits. In the first half of the program, we just told you how they developed and why they are the way they are. And of course, there are serious good black theorists who will tell the truth. My good sister, Mama Marimba, my good brother, Dale Jones. This is Dale Jones, brother. So, I always have these damn commercials, you know. Yes, get out of there with that.
Holocaust, and we're going to deal with culture. I don't know what he mean by a brief lecture. I mean, how much time do I have? Because I'm long with you, brother. Oh, okay. I just want to test the basis because, you know, when we do this kind of work, we don't know if we'll ever see each other again. You know what I mean? We don't know who's going to get taken down and who's going to be up. But we pass the word as hardcore as we can because this ain't no joke. Mm-hmm. They are playing with the wrong people at the wrong space and time. They playing with us as if we cannot make the analysis that they're trying to kill us off. Right. They're playing with us as if we do not understand that we're in the midst of a black Holocaust. They're playing with us as if they really think they can take our children out and we don't say nothing about it. So there's a whole lot of things going on that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the white man has totally lost his mind. He has totally ran amok, and I'm going to tell you why. If you're familiar with Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's paper, or book, The ISIS Papers, they always have been scared of genetic annihilation. Genetic annihilation meaning that they're the minority in the world. They're only one-tenth of the world's people. And they're one-tenth of people without color who suffer from advanced albinism and cultural backwardness. They even have what I call gender confusion. Yeah, they do. And they are the cannibals. Haven't they proven they're the cannibals? There's no incidence of black people eating anyone, no time, that they can prove. We've always grown up saying that we put people in the pots and yum yum eat them up. It ain't true. It ain't never been true. And now you have Jeffrey Dahmer in the middle of a black community eating black people. That's unacceptable. Nobody said nothing. If I went through the back alley, they'd call the cops on me like this. But some white boy can eat our people in the middle of the community and nobody bust him in his ass. Something's wrong with that. That means we have a menticide problem. That means white people have the right to do anything and be anywhere or without being questioned. But if we move, 5 or 10 of us move around, it's a gang. In Philadelphia, they had this guy named Gary Heidnick. Well, he feasted on African women. He tied them upside down. He fed them their own body parts to each other. He jumped down in a hole where a woman was kept for months in her own excretion, own body fluids and waste, and go down and have sex with her. Sure. See, they're revolving back to their barbarism. Then they try to make it seem all so cool. Oh, by the way, there was a Russian. And he'll be in my we have a newspaper coming out called The Eye of the Storm. Because the Black Holocaust is selling so well, I finally get to have my dream as a national newspaper that's free of charge. See, because you can't always sell information. And you have the books, it takes too long to get the information packaged. By then the crisis is over, they done whipped our butt and they gone. So we got a newspaper that'll start quarterly and then move to monthly. But it's this Russian, his name is Andrei or some sort of off-time European Russian kind of stuff. He ate 56 people. And he looked just like Silence of the Lambs. I'm going to run the picture of him, bald-headed and all. So obviously, they're the barbarians. They're the barbarians. Okay? First thing we have to settle is who we are. We are the people darker than blue. We are the African people. We are the founders of the sciences, the mathematics. We plotted the celestial bodies to tell when the Nile was going to overflow. We are bad. Dr. Chancellor Williams, our illustrious elder who passed while I was in Washington, wrote the famous book, The Destruction of Black Civilization. And he asked the question, how did we get from the pyramids to the projects?
Amen.
Now, our gig is how do we get from the projects back to the pyramids? And I say it's menticide. So the lecture will deal with both books at the same time. culture bandits, meaning they steal our culture, and the Black Holocaust. Because everything is related and we always deal with things holistically. When we say that they are barbaric, it's not just Dell saying that. When we went to school, they taught us their history. Did they not teach that England and France had a 100 years war? That's a heck of a rumble. That's a whole century. That tells us that war is your norm and peace is abnormal for you. In the African dialectic or the African laws of opposite, peace is our norm. War is an exception. It's hard to get us to at war. And that's what I'm trying to do now, to establish that we are in the middle and the ending phase of the African Holocaust. And crack and AIDS have been developed to take us out. And they're coming here for your babies in Atlanta. That's why we're glad to get Michael Jackson, who is an agent of white supremacy.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He's not it. Just a crazy little fag boy. See? He's an agent of white supremacy, and he is also given $1 billion to take us out.
That's right.
He hates us, first of all. Let's establish why our brother would do that. Right. He would rather be under the armpit of Elizabeth Taylor than anywhere near his sister.
My Lord.
See? Yeah. The boy, crazy as a loon, I don't care why he was crazy. I don't care whether his father beat him or not. That's not my problem. He's working with white supremacy to take us out. How many of us had bad childhoods? Is that an excuse to say, well, I'm really like being an Afro-American, whatever that may be. I'm Afro-American, Afro is a hairstyle. And I ain't no kind of American.
Come on.
You know, we're African people, simply put. That way you connect all over the globe. But old good old Michael Jackson, he said on Oprah Winfrey. Now, first of all, the reason why he was on Oprah Winfrey, the reason why he talked so much the other night when he gave him some kind of award for being a cylinder assault bomb, what all that PR is for one reason only. Michael Jackson was put to sell African culture as American pop culture all over the globe to let people get softened for white imperialism American style. And in every country, they love Michael Jackson. Well, if he's supposed to be the baddest of the bad and the coolest of cool of African people, and we don't like him, the word don't lick down, we don't like the Magi. I mean, we can't stand the Paul. You don't diss us and say we still love you. We ain't that stupid. So what did they do? They said, well, Michael, we need you to go all over the globe and help set up the New World Order. Sony said, we'll give you $1 billion. You know how much $1 billion is? You know how much that would affect the people's reality in Grenada, Jamaica? How much would that help the black community here, $1 billion? This one little dude gets him $1 billion. Now, he said something during that Oprah Winfrey interview, and the reason why he had to go on Oprah is because we didn't like him no more. So he had to come front and center and explain himself. What you mean you don't like being black? I said, I like being black. I said, do you go out? I like women. What kind of women? Brooke Shields? Brooke Shields, that beast? you dissed him? See, he's so ignorant, he don't know that was a diss. He should have made up a name. He should have said, Bueller. What is it? Make up your talent, no Brooke Shields? Brooke Shields? All right, Brooke Shields. He said, I go out with Brooke Shields. Solid. All right, you go out with Brooke Shields. Then he said something that should have ran shivers up your spine. He said, Jimmy Carter, who was the Trilateral Commission's first president, who was not a peanut farmer, but a nuclear physicist.
Right.
Big player, you know. And he walking around down the mean beer to go pick some peanuts. Oh, man, that was a nuclear dangerous physicist. Crazy as a loon. White supremacist to the max. Trilateral Commission. Controlled by David Rockefeller, who I think controls Spelman and Morehouse. Is that true?
Well,
right. Come on. We'll go home. But Michael said something that should have ran up our spine. He said, me and Jimmy Carter is going to inoculate all the children of Atlanta.
That's right. Yeah. Come on. That's right.
No, he shouldn't know. No. First of all, we're going to win in an inoculation. The World Health Organization said it was going to eradicate smallpox by inoculating the whole world with smallpox. They went all over Africa giving our people the HIV. That's how it got there. What started was supposed to be a fag disease. All of a sudden, 90% of us got it. What started saying we ate green monkeys, that all of a sudden, we got it. Now, they said it was needles that did it, as if everybody in Africa and the Caribbean are junkies.
Right.
The World Health Organization got tracked, so they said, oh, excuse me, we made a mistake. Now they're talking about inoculating our babies with substances dead in their bloodstream to kill them.
Right on.
It's part of the final phase. Why is it the final phase? The next to the last phase of white supremacy is a global attack on African people. Right. First, takes us back to good old Jimmy Carter. In 69, Carter commissioned a paper to be done called the Global 2000.
Yep.
And they came up with the point that 2.7 billion people of color, that's a whole lot of folks. It's almost a third of the world population. 2.7 billion people of color had to be erased from the face of the earth because of scarcity of land. I drive around, see no more land. All over, I don't see no more land. They're talking about land for us. So 2.7 billion people of color is supposed to be taken out. Now, what do they come up to deal with that? Crack, first, not only kills, not only addicts, but it tears at the fiber of the African family.
Right.
For example, who's going to deal? How can you keep a family together when somebody get on crack so much they throw the baby up against the wall and smash him and kill him dead? Well, how can you keep a family together if the junkie will cut grandma's throat for him? How can you keep a family? How can you keep a race going if you have black women who are carriers of generations walking around blown apart, gone? So with all that going on, you seen crack was very important. Now, you throw in Terry McMillan? You throw in Alice Walker with that man bashing? You throw in Living Color, making fun of black women, and you throw in Shenanigans and Martin? He's worse than ever. He play his mom with a mustache. What are you talking about? His mom! You get a 300-pound football player, blood running all down his face. The camera zooms in, he takes his helmet off, he's crying, he's hurt, and the camera hits his face. What did he say? Hi, Mom. Therefore, that means the African man is never going to collect his mama like them so-called Jews did. Put them in. The Jews was responsible for ripping each other off. Go ahead, Ma, get in it. They just going to give you a shower. Because they were punks. They didn't want to fight nobody. But they're dealing with the African now. This is a whole different setup. They say they're coming for our women and children, and the African man begin to rise. So what does the media do? Bash men down. Bash up the air. We got contradictions between black men and black women. Solve them.
Right.
Sit down and talk about it African style.
Right.
Say, come on, baby, we need new rules for governing our household. And you got to be happy, and I got to be happy, because the product of our union, our children, have to be taken care of, protected, and dealt with. That's all we ever had to do. But in the middle of all this is the soap operas, which give the women a soap opera mentality, and men sitting on sports like Al Bundy, getting that macho men. Sports, every commercial, you ain't got nothing but beer and white women.
Come on.
See? So they deal, and that's why the media deals, they messes it in your culture. Michael Jackson, if you think I mess with him unfairly, he is part of the New World Order. He is dangerous. And if I had my way, I'd slap him up against the wall and shoot him. I have my way. And I will have my way, or they'll have theirs. Either they'll win, or we'll win. If we lose, slap me up against the wall. So what? I ain't the first warrior to lose for a minute. Because revolution is a process. It's not an event. People think the revolution. The revolution happens, we beings free. Damn. Revolution is a process. Ask the people in Angola. Ask the people in Mozambique. They've been free, but the CIA has had Renamo fighting for them in Mozambique and had UNITA fighting for them in Angola, and freedom has yet to come to the people because they have to continue using the resources to rumble these white boys flunky. So I ain't got no time for no flunky. Michael Jackson, to illustrate a point, let's take Mikey one more time. His videos are so dangerous that he should be shot for them alone. Let's take, no matter if you're black or white. Well, if it didn't matter, why'd he go to all that trouble? You know, he let Dr. Frankenstein cut up his nose and smash his cheekbones, and I don't think a little more. However, in Black or White, you remember the video. Everything's happy, multicultural, no matter if you're black or white. You know, and they just jamming, right? And people turn it into other people. Ooh, that's demonic. You know, Caucasians turn into black people and all this is going on. Light camera action and people are dancing and happy. But over in the corner is what? A Black Panther. And we know who that Black Panther be. That be the people in this room who are concerned enough about their people to say we need to separate and get ourselves together. And then we'll talk about equality of man. Okay? We have to keep our culture. That's the Black Panther. The Black Panther, as the multiculturalism party continues, goes down the steps, which means, denotes that you're going down, that multiculturalism, meaning integration, is on a higher level. So you go down as if you're descending into hell. Michael then comes down as a panther and uprights himself, and you can see a cage. It's either a cage or a prison door. He uprights himself. Look at the video. I know y'all got it. When he straightens up, he becomes savage for no reason at all. He starts tearing up crap. He starts beating up cars. He starts burning down the hotel, and nobody knows what he's saying because nobody makes the analysis. It's simply saying that Africans left to their own devices are savage and out of control. That's if you stay with the multiculturalism, the family of man, everything is cool and you can chill. But if you go down there with black people and separate, as Marcus Garvey would say, as Bob Marley would say, as Malcolm would say, then you're going to live in this decay. That is an aggression against African people's mental attitude about themselves and their ability to govern and control. Michael Jackson. If you take another video by Michael Jackson, I take some time with him because he's important. He's coming your way. If you've seen the video, remember the time when him and Eddie Murphy's supposed to be in Egypt, right? And Eddie Murphy's supposed to be Ramesses too. He was from Beverly Hills Cop to Ramesses too. Quite a leap. And he's all set up and he's looking all royal, Ramesses too. Man is doing in Egypt at that space and time. But of course we know underneath his hat he got his hair done. But we won't quit. We won't make fun of Eddie, will we? Won't we? But Eddie's in it. Magic Johnson's over there. Magic Johnson, of course, is supposed to lead you to AZT. And AZT kills you. AIDS don't even have a chance to kill you once you take that AZT. We've already developed Cameron in Kenya and they're suppressing it.
Right.
We got some tapes here for sale that I did a lecture with Dr. Barbara Justice, who uses Cameron to heal people who have AIDS, to arrest the symptoms. It came out of Kenya simply because we always respond positively to whatever they whip on us. So they whipped AIDS on the Kenyan, and the Kenyan doctors came up with Kimrine. Immunex. Okay, all that information's available. So they have Magic Johnson. They gave somebody slid magic, and he's Kimrine, brother. He threw that stuff in the tray. Don't give me that. The American Medical Association said it's no good. Die, nigga, like the last boys. Die. You know what I mean? I'd be trying anything. You so down that you die in front of your family's eyes. You wither away. We have the greatest immune system known to mankind, and they broke it down. And am I saying is that racist? For example, let's take Michael Jordan, for example. He flies through the air with the greatest of ease. Do a 360 in the air and dunk a basketball over his shoulder without looking. That's a mathematical computation with your body. We are math. Music is math. Little girls doing double dutch. We the only one can do that. We the people darker than blue. See? Because that's a mathematical computation with the child's body. But when she gets to school, they say, you don't want to take hard math. You don't want to take no sciences. You want to be a social worker to lead your people to me. The United Way. They mess us up, scuff us up. You know what I'm saying? So it's very important that we understand that we are math. Take it another level, the pyramids on shifting sand. They're still there. London Bridge don't fill them. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is up there like this. Wrong. Because they didn't know pi. And then they'd have you saying praises to their stuff that's wrong. Oh, and if you live there regularly, did you see the weed power? Suckers of feeling, they condemned it the other day. Suckers of feeling. Yeah. We could just pull it over. Wrong. Our forefathers, who was doing this stuff before they crawled out of some condo cave, before they even could prove the existence, I'm talking about physical evidence. I'm not talking about nothing I cannot prove. Nothing that we don't have physical evidence. Our ancestors knew the hunky was going to come by, and they knew he was going to try to take credit for our stuff. So he stamped our faces on the pyramids.
That's right.
On the spig. Napoleon seen it and blew it. He said, fire, fire. And they kept hitting the face of the Sphinx. And it's still there. I think the Trade Center almost fell down here. I think some people ain't going for the New World Order. And that's white on white crime. I love white on white crime. They never say they're always black on black crime. There's no such thing as white on white crime. Why, when they have a crime, the whole world rumbles. World War I, World War 200 years ago. But I love to see it. I turn on CNN when I'm depressed and when I'm feeling lonely.
That was Kung Fu. And really beautiful presentation. I know it's just a small part of what the brother does. And it's just outstanding. I haven't heard too much about Brother Del Jones. Heard some stuff way back. You know, in fact, that what I just played for you is probably from, 2008, somewhere around there. And then there's a piece here I want to read to you from his book. This is Cultural Bandits. Has it beckons, and this is a small part too. I'm not, because it's very long. It's a small part. So we can get to anybody who wants to ask questions or have a comment. And as it beckons to you to lay your mind gently upon its lower, remember, it is only purpose is to perpetrate the growth of itself while stripping you of your solidarity, bleaching the barrenness of your being, and dissolving you into a dimension. For it is truly fears that those among us who have escaped its wrath are free from its falseness will one day filter the fertility of veracity, unleashing unspoken tremors of truth, steadily freeing its prisoners from their bondage and release those unknowing of the great white lie. Sincere intent, this work is designed to end the development of people like Wilson Good, Colin Powell, Ralph Bunche, Joseph Mobutu, Jonas Savimbi, Roy Ennis, Carl T. Rowan, Tom Adams, Eric Williams, Gene Roberts, Anwar Sadat, Sammy Davis Jr., Eugenia Childs, and Tom Heyer. Among us, those among us. It is designed to decrease the possibilities of collaborators, infiltrators of our just struggle for liberation and the unification of our people under revolutionary Pan-Africanism. The war correspondent. There was a book that came out about 20 years ago. The directory of certified Uncle Toms. The directory of certified Uncle Toms. I got Brother Kwaku's book, and I'm going to give it back to him, but I'm going to start reading it because I want to do a presentation on the book, basically an update. That was 20 years ago that the book came out. 20 years later, many of the people named in that book, and of course in that book it said that, you can not be labeled a Tom, of course, if you change your behavior, change your mind, and begin to be serious about our people instead of cooning, buck dancing, undermining our people. The names I just named, I don't know if you know some of these names, like Wilson Good of Philadelphia, what he did, move. Colin Powell, the general. Ralph Bunche, when he was at the UN, brokered that bullshit deal with Egypt. Of course, Anwar Sadat, see, in Egypt. Roy Ennis,
Carl T. Rowan. So, introduction in Cultural Bandits 1, we journey into the white supremacist rape of our musical culture. We explain how they have subverted our culture to continue to subjugate us. I also explain that these interruptions damage our progress, confuse our direction, and destroy our mental and social equilibrium. They have an excellent understanding of our culture and how it impacts on our attempts to rebuild our African minds. Even after their enslavement and terrorism created a mental mutant called nigger, we have always battled back to achieve our natural status as original man, the African. It is a race against time. It is, and we must collect ourselves and put our consciousness at the foundation of our efforts to fend off the genocidal programs of our enemies. Culture is the mother milk of the growth. Let me say that again. Culture is the mother's milk of this growth, this development, and this rebirth of our strong culture. That makes culture a critical war zone where the life and death struggle of our race will be played out. In this corner, armed with economic and political power, which includes print, the colonization of scholarship, radio, electronic propaganda, television, image enslavement, movies, revisionist historical distortions and images manufactured, satellite communications, global information control, educational institutions, Negro creating factories, military terrorism, domestic stickism, employment, coercion, neo-slavery, prison, concentration camps for male youth and adults, police culture, the pig is your friend propaganda, hunger, homelessness, and food stamp lifeline. Facing all of this, and in this corner, is the champion, the African. Bloodied, beaten, raped, and terrorized. Historically, more than a savior, a proud veteran with a Pan-African knockout punch he at this time refuses to use. But damn it, we got to use it. We are armed with only a minority of African-centered brothers and sisters. This is true. This is true. We are armed with only a minority of us, a segment of us. But damn it, we will fight. We are disorganized and disjointed. Our biggest weapon is the will to be free. Yet we carry the repressed hatred of our tormentors so deep in our bosoms. We can't reach the needed adrenaline-producing documentation of why we hate them. And we do hate them. Even only a few will admit their powerless hatred. The common denominator is not truth and justice. It is sheer power. Political, military, global, economic power that can only be delivered to us through Pan-Africanism. I will repeat, the common denominator is not truth and justice. It is sheer power. Political, military, and global economic power that can only be delivered to us through Pan-Africanism. The total liberation and unification of Africa and African people globally is the only solution to deal with this internal white supremacy. One global configuration against another will be the final come down. It is unavoidable. Cultural Bandits, the annihilation of the African images, is designed to clarify the mass media's role in developing in us a political backwardness, internal and external image assassination, an artificial affection for our enemy, and a self-hatred of our own people. As those Caucasian supremacists, those European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has denoted, tools, our aspirations in a foul fiction designed to continue our victimization and false destruction. This is the first book that requires a VCR to travel through it thoroughly as we cut through in the reader's resistance to the damning truth about our relationship with our captors. I intend to leave the doubters nowhere to run and nowhere to hide as I strike down the white lies that traps our tomorrows in its bowels. Yeah, there's a lot more of that. Brothers and sisters, give us a call at 215-490-9832. Yeah, I know. That's why I do this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I don't do it unless there's some serious extenuating circumstances, like i.e. being out of town or some other, but I try my best. And even today, you know, I just picked this as a topic, and wasn't Inye Say Sim in line with this topic? The feminization of our brothers. I mean, I'm telling you, the ancestors, our righteous struggle, all those things are in our favor. But they will only manifest when we have functional unity. We don't have to have everybody. Just like Marcus Garvey said about us going back home, and that which is what we must do. He said, I ain't asking all y'all to go home, because some of y'all ain't no damn good here and you won't be any damn good there. Stay your ass here. And I know that who I'm talking to and who I appeal to is a small segment of us. That's why it was always encouraging to me to see young people who are African-centered, who wear their hair natural, who wear African clothes, who embrace being African and have respect for elders and understand and revere ancestors. Because it lets me know that the struggle will continue. And that we will fight on. That's why I appreciate what Brother Tamani is doing with the Bulezi. The Bulezi. You know, Kikombo Bulezi. The young brothers and the young warriors. We got young sisters. That's why I think it's always important that we connect with young people. Help them understand this. Because they're bombarded 24/7, 365. There's segments of us who because they have not heard, and they see television, and they see movies, videos. Videos can be very damaging. Because not only do you hear the music, like when we were coming up, you know, you heard the music and you put yourself in it. You can remember when you heard a song and you liked this one young lady or whatever, you can put yourself in that. And then when you heard the song decades later, you can still reminisce and conjure up that image. But now, they constantly feed you with these videos. You see it. And now you hear, yes, what you see. And some of it is damaging. Some of it further enforces stereotypes and imagery. And when I'm going to do this thing on Certified Uncle Tom's, I'm going to help understand. I mean, I got to do the research. I got to really, because I want to present it the right way. Because there's some folks who were named Uncle Tom's that are still Tommy 20 years later. Of course, because they are members of this society. The Caucasian with his slick ass, he has you believing this as much as yours as it is theirs. When I listened to, and I didn't want to, but Candace Owens talking about slavery. I was so curious. I listened to it and I was like, this is so sickening. This is so sickening. But I understand these people have a vice grip on our minds. And anything that they say, we will believe. If you have it, I don't suggest that you really, if you come across it, Candace Owens talking about slavery, you know, yeah, but it don't, because it's sickening. She gives so much props to Europeans, America, into slavery. In fact, we sold our own people into slavery, and slavery has been in existence from the beginning of time. They always talk about slavery in Kemet, don't they? Got us believing that the European Jews, who say they were enslaved, and because of the Bible says it, the Quran says it. I watched a piece on the Quran the other day on YouTube. And it just, you know, I love, you know, one of my best friends is Muhammad Abdullah. You know, he became Orthodox Muslim. Almost like he's an imam. In fact, he does prison ministry. He's a good brother, you know. We have good conversation. I know some Christians, you know. But I know that the theologies that have been imposed upon us, really, that is not for us. They're not African. We are Africans. Muslims want to think of themselves more as universal. Their religion and their culture are the same. So no matter where you are on the planet, whether you Caucasian, Asian, Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, whatever you are, Latino, if you are Muslim, you're one and the same. Christianity, of course, is a whole nother damn thing. Some say, well, Brother Oshi, why you be railing against Christianity? Because it purports itself to be historical. It says that it is historical. Everything in the Bible is true. It's the infallible word of God. It's historical. It actually happened. The stories that come out of ancient Kemet and other cultures. And these other cultures, you know, they say, you know, it's the mythology. But no, Christianity says, no, it's historical. It is real. It is a fact. That's the crux right there. Of Christianity, it has to be real. And not only does it have to be real, his resurrection, that's a real key, because without that, you have to believe that he died, he was killed, he was crucified, and then he was buried for 3 days, and then he rose. That is your salvation, as so they say. No, brothers and sisters, I just told you what your salvation is. Pan-Africanism, a dynamic Pan-Africanism. As Dr. Clark said, it'll be technical, it'll be historical, and it'll be cultural. The technical is what's happening today, how we can utilize the technology to make Pan-Africanism as real and concurrent and as possible. Historical, because it is who we are before anybody. Culture, because that's the bottom line, culture. And the Europeans are cultural bandits. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. They are cultural bandits. You know, the belief is, and you know, this is real. A lot of our people. Yeah, we was enslaved and everything, you know. But really, man, I'd rather be in America, man. Africa is so messed up. Anywhere else in the world, America is one of the greatest. I mean, you can really, you have freedoms here, you know. I mean, if I want to be a whatever, I can be a whatever. You know, you can do it here. You know, after all, this is the land of the individual, the home of, you know, the individual, individualism, you know. So I ain't got to beholden to nobody. You know, I can just go ahead and go to the school that I want to go to or can afford to go to. I can, you know, prepare myself and maybe I might get a scholarship and this and that, you know, because I'll do what they say. You know, brothers and sisters, for those who want to stay, just put it out there. This is the deal. No argument. No fight. Tell them what the deal is. This is who they are. You want to stay? You go ahead. But no longer. I'm not debating. I'm not arguing. I'm not comparing. No. The bottom line is, it's Exodus. The Exodus did not happen in the Bible. It did not happen in Kemet. It is proven. And, you know, there are still people who want, like I said, they want these to be true, want it to be historical. So because they believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. And so they said it's supposed to be historical. So they're looking for Adam and Eve. They're looking for just like another thing I saw on the YouTube. They found Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. They're looking for Noah's Ark. They're looking for Noah's Ark. They're looking for all these things that are in the Bible. What I hate is the lies. What I hate is a great civilization, a great culture created by us of ancient Kemet. Nobody was slaves. They didn't have slaves. They didn't have servitude to the extent of what people talk about. They weren't suffering the sting of the lash. They didn't do what they did. Once again, I refer to the documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019, that you watch this documentary. Not only do they tell you who built the pyramids, us, and as the documentary clearly states, there wasn't no people from Atlantis. It wasn't no aliens. It wasn't no half-breeds. It was Africans. The only one that could withstand, because at the time pyramids had to be built. Remember, they had a three-season calendar. They developed the first calendar in the world, but because of that region, it was three seasons. There was the inundation, the planting or the cultivation, and then the harvest. Pyramid building, temple building began in the inundation. They had to have water. Why? Because that's how they made. They didn't make bricks. They made stone, limestone. They poured it. It was poured. It wasn't chiseled. They didn't have the tools to chisel granite and hard stone. There was copper. Stuff would bend and break. No. That's what I'm saying. Even if you say that the Medu-Netcher says this and that, the other thing is you don't want to tell nobody about your technology. They didn't want to tell nobody that they created the solar disk, a glass disk. Just like when you have a magnifying glass, which that's what it was, a large magnifying glass. And when they move it and tilt it towards the sun to be pointed at a certain thing, the heat is so intense, it melts whatever it hits. It melted granite. That's why in the pyramid of Khufu, because the K in Great Pyramid K stands for Kemet. In the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Khufu, there's the upper chamber, the king's chamber, is lined with granite. Granite. Walls, perfectly. His sarcophagus, perfect. The top that went over, perfect. Because why? It was poured. It was poured. But not only we did what we did in ancient Kemet, and they said the only ones that could do this, to be out in that sun with somebody who had deeply melanated skin. There were no Hebrews, no European Jews. There were no Moses. There wasn't none of that. And yet they want you to believe that. That is the tenets of the faith of Christianity and of Judaism. We labored under Pharaoh. You know, then we wandered 40 days and 40, in 40 years in the desert because we had stop it. And then, of course, because God favors them opposed to the other human beings, God favors them to go take their stuff, to kill every man, woman, and child. I couldn't trust the God that chooses. I think people should choose God. God should not be in the process of choosing any damn body. That makes it racist right there. Discriminatory right there. It can't be racist, but discriminatory. No such thing as race. So, yeah. All of these things that are happening, we have to embrace those brothers and sisters who are presenting to us the mechanisms for unification, the programs to unite, the programs to bring us together. The continent of Africa has that piece I just played for you and what I read from Brother Del Jones must come to fruition. And I don't mean tomorrow, I mean now. To me, this decade, it has to be pushed in that direction. We have to challenge. I ain't talking about folks here. You leave their ass here and be very wary of them who are here. But we must challenge the continent's leadership. We must make the continent understand that we got, that everybody on there who ain't African gots to go. If you made a deal with a particular country, we might talk about it, but hell, we might say, hell no, just get out. Because you didn't barter or bargain with us to take it. You just took it. The Berlin Conference of 1884, you just carved it up and said, I want this. The boundaries you see is what they did. So we got to change all of that. Change names. You know, damn Lake Victoria. All of these things have to be done. And we must move to do it. It is the only salvation for African people. Is the unification of African people. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That is the model. That is the model of this program. That is our motto. We talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, but our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And so, getting those brothers and sisters on the continent, and for those who want to leave, take your ass to London. You love London so much. Take your ass to Germany, to France. But France, get your ass out. France still has more so-called colonies on the continent than any other country. Next is Britain. But all of them gotta go. We'll come back for the reparations later once we've firmly established ourselves on the continent as one African nation. No longer will we, I mean, to me, yes, we'll respect who you were tribally or culturally. Hausa, Igbo, Santi, Afanti, whatever. But that's not more important than to be African, to be the continent. Marcus Garvey says, "What? Will you give up Jamaica?" He said, "Man, for sure. I give up an island for a continent every day." I give up citizenship of this damn place in a moment's notice. Yes, brother and sister, brother Oshie, Baba Oshie would leave his family. I love them. I do. But we have to understand, these Caucasians have captivated the minds of our people. I've been saying what I've been saying for decades. I have many family members, you know. I say it. They want to deal with it. They deal with it. They don't. They don't. I keep moving. My hope for those who don't. But, you know, this is real fantasy, because the fact is those who don't will side with Europeans. Those who don't will be agent provocateurs. Those who don't will fight hard against us for them. The minds of our people. Coming to the end of the program. Really appreciate the opportunity always. Brother Bamani Taimba will be my guest on Friday. We'll further talk about Africa for the Africans. Because that's where we have to go. You have to, you know, many of us can't physically and you know, don't want to. When you talk about going somewhere, a lot of our people ain't talking about going to Ghana, going to Nigeria, going to Egypt. Yeah, Egypt is in Africa. Or anywhere. So, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibihodiye. Bibihodiye means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace.